And we're back. Welcome back, folks, to yet another episode of the Snooze and Booze podcast. Let's see if we can get on this side closer.
And is the volume cool?
Yeah, I think it's good.
Okay.
All right, so it's been a couple of weeks.
Yeah, man.
It's a little harder just because with the project, sometimes I come back on Fridays and I don't have really, like, if I'm coming straight, I'll get here like around 9 or 10 and then you just go straight home on Fridays. Yeah, this is going on until, like, June, dude.
Until June?
I started in November, and it's just been nonstop. And then this week, because I have other stuff that are due on certain schedules, and I had to, like, be in two places at once kind of thing. And it's just like, fuck, man, like, all this. Because from where I'm working the project at to where my site is in San Jose, it's about 45 minutes, maybe a little less with no traffic. But so it's, like, back and forth, like, 3-4 times a day, you know, that kind of shit. It sucks, man. Yeah.
Damn.
There's new more people. My bad, dude. Could you turn that down a tiny bit? Yeah. Oh, that's all. Is that as it goes? You know what it is? I think it's because we're facing the same direction where it's coming from, the music. Mm. But that's fine. Yeah, that's good right there, yeah. Yeah, but I'm trying. So, you know, episodes are slowly or surely. But surely.
Right, right, right. Surely.
Yeah.
I am serious.
Yeah, don't call me sure. Kings got into the playoffs last night.
Did they really?
Yeah, they were playing Chicago. It was a good game, too. Really good game, actually.
Nice.
Yeah, but that's going to be fun. Playoff games are always, like, the funnest to go to.
Are they?
Yeah. Nice. It's different. You know, the vibe is different. You know, everybody's on your feet. I don't know. It's more like going to a concert.
Huh.
It's a bit different vibe, you know.
Is it like watching Endgame? Avengers Endgame in the theater?
Sure, something like that, yeah. I remember when I saw that Endgame when it came out, I was still doing a project in Texas, and like, I think I might have seen, because I'd go to there's nothing much to do when you're, so I'd go to the movies like every weekend, and when Endgame was out, I every new movie I'd see, I'd just sneak into whatever was left of Endgame, and then watch the last, wherever I walked in on it, sneak in. But one time I was recording it. And I was trying to take a picture to send Gwen, like, well, I'm watching the scene, right? And didn't realize the flash was on. It was, God damn it, you know, and then hear me, like, screwing away. I don't know, hear this jackass, like, with the flash on in the phone.
You know, you just hear the groans, this guy.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
What you been up to all week, man?
Just work, pretty much.
Anything cool or fun?
Nah, just one of those, like, mundane weeks, just doing
today,
the damn thing.
This week felt fast, and actually last week too, like, it just feels like Kafka-esque, you know, just going through the motions a lot,
pretty much
office space shit, you know.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that movie just like earlier this week. I don't know why, forgot why. I don't know if it was just like
Ron
Livingston
or because of,
I want to say it was because of Ron Livingston, just kind of like
I finished that show he has on Netflix, The Louder.
I just saw that one, the coffee scene, like,
oh yeah, that's going making the rounds as part of the movie. It's a good show.
Hmm.
Yeah, Will Sasso, that's what he's in it. A couple people are in it. You'll recognize some people. But Peter Farrelly is one of the directors and writers.
Oh, shit, nice.
Yeah. No, I think it might be the other Farrelly brother. Bobby Farrelly?
With Bobby and Peter? Okay.
No, but it's only one of them. So I think it might be Bobby.
Oh, okay.
But either way, check it out, man. It's not bad. I like it.
Not too shabby.
Right now I'm rewatching, you know, because it's that time. Rewatching Breaking Bad, whatever.
Oh, right.
It's like, I've rewatched it maybe about 5-6 times, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
This is probably the first time, like, Bryan Cranston always gets, you know, because he's awesome, right?
Right.
Aaron Paul is amazing.
Like, oh, right.
Acting-wise, like, no one ever brings him up along with Bryan Cranston. But he's fucking really good. And he has a better arc and better tragic story than Walt does.
Because, I guess his is more, you can be, like, more empathetic and sympathetic with, like, Aaron Paul. Maybe as opposed to, like, you know, where Walter started off. But maybe that's about, like, his, like, he almost, like, it reminds me of Gil in The Simpsons. Mm-hmm. Oh, jeez, old Gil, you gotta help old Gil. Like, he reminds me of that, like, in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But as it progresses and he kind of turns into, you know, Heisenberg, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I don't know, he loses that kind of, that humanity.
Well, becomes arrogant. I mean, that's what the show's about, right? Pride.
Right.
But he becomes arrogant and just, like... Aaron Paul always had... He still had a lot of humility and... I mean, he's a recovering addict and he's constantly falling off the wagon. But it's not just that. He's more tragic. all his love interests end up dying.
Right.
Like, really badly, too. Violent right. deaths. Right. All, and then his friend, like, he has more people around him die, and it's, his reactions to it is like, God damn it, can this guy catch a fucking break? You start feeling bad for him more so than you ever do for Walter White.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe only maybe at the beginning, but Walter, even in the beginning, before he turned into, like, Heisenberg, even the first, even second season, there was a patheticness to him.
Right, that's what I mean. Like, not in a guilt character.
Yeah, yeah, and not in a disgusting, pathetic, whatever, in more, like, a poor, like you said, the guilt character, but I'm trying to think of more, like, a schmuck, kind of just a schmuck, down on the guy, shit never goes right for him.
Okay.
Most of it's his fault, probably, though, you know, certain choices he made that got him where he's at. It's his fault, and he wants to finally do something about it. But when he does, he goes over. I don't know why, but the women, the white women specifically, are the most annoying people. Like Skylar and Marie, you know, her sister.
Oh yeah.
God damn it, they are insufferable, insufferable. I don't know if there's any redeeming qualities about them at all. I can't tell you if there is one.
Cause what was the wife's name? Homegirl?
Skylar?
No, the other one.
Murray.
Was it Murray?
Hank's wife, you mean.
Hank Schrader. Like, for me, she was, like, pretty much the same character, like, the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't remember, like there being much of a spectrum, maybe. Mm-hmm. Like, started off this way and that way.
Right, to me, no arc for her, yeah.
It was just a very solidified character. There was no progression at all.
Well, not just no progression, because that would be at least like, well, it's a whatever. She's unlikable in the sense where she's a lie, pathological, and she can never admit when she's wrong.
Okay.
And she likes to pretend like nothing happened. Right. You know, trying to move on from situation without just confrontation.
Denial.
Yeah, denial. Yeah, so that part alone is like, what the fuck is wrong with this psycho? Yeah. She's just horrible. And then Skylar just straight annoying. Like, doesn't know what she's doing. Doesn't know. Thinks she knows best, but. And to be fair, she. Like, there's a lot of stuff where she makes great decisions, but her view of Walter is completely, like. Do you know who you're. Like, no. Like, this guy's a horrible guy. He's not who you. She's almost still sees him as a season one guy.
Okay.
And then she treats him accordingly, which is kind of fucked up, too, because that's kind of why. He went to the dark side because he feels emasculated by her in their entire marriage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's just like, I don't know, there's no redeeming qualities about her, you know?
Right.
And which is really weird because in the Better Call Saul show, what's her face? Treehorn. Yeah, Kim. I forgot her real name. Something Treehorn.
Rhea
Treehorn, isn't it? Or Trihorn?
Something Horn. Rhea fucking.
Seahorn. Seahorn, I believe, yeah. Okay. But her, one of the best female-written characters in all media. Yeah, and like she's probably written the best out of anybody I've ever seen. Most one, you know, that's a stretch, but out of all, you know, media. So it's so funny that maybe they saw what they did wrong with the female characters in Breaking Bad, and like, okay, let's do the opposite with Better Call Saul, and they gave, you know, Kim like pretty much the best character arc and best, like, she's supportive but not overstepping. She's willing to meet him down his level because she loves him that much. Like, everything about her, she's smarter than him, but she doesn't, like, overshadow him to emasculate him.
Right.
Like, they just match each other's level. It's just a perfectly written character, and she plays it so well, you know?
And she still has that, like, she still has, like, that, I guess, like, the moral dilemma throughout, you know, where Jimmy kind of comes at her with, like, this stuff every so often, and you know she's just like... But she always
almost
like
he ain't gonna change, you know, that kind of thing.
But right. Well, I'm and she knew it.
And she's like, well, I'm with it for him. Fuck it.
You know, exactly. You know. Yeah. So it's like, damn.
Yeah, it's a great, great character written. But like I said, the Breaking Bad is such a bad character. And all the cool, like all the female characters end up. That's what I'm saying. The ones that are attached to Aaron Paul's character, they all end up dying. You know, because at first it's obviously Kristen Ritter's character.
Right.
She's great. She's great. She's actually really... She matches him really well. And then the fact that they end up getting together, like, oh, okay, this makes sense, you know, to start kind of confrontational and then ends up evolving. But then she's an addict. Like, it's a great story. She has a great character.
Mm-hmm.
And then the season one now, the Andrea, the Mexican chick.
Oh, yeah. What was the kid's name?
Brock.
Brock.
Yeah. she's a great fucking character too. She's really cool. She's also a, you know, recovering addict, so they have that kind of thing.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
you know, she's interesting, you know what I mean? And she ends up,
because,
you know,
she's a recovering addict.
Yeah, that's right. I like the damaged goods one.
Oh, man.
Yes, but they, all the ones that are actually written pretty well, end up fucking dying, you know, just for a dramatic effect, you know? Why do I have to sit with Marie and Skyler for 5 seasons? Can we kill them off, please? Like, what the hell, you know?
I wonder what that would have done to the story if it was the other way around.
Yeah.
Like, if they would have gone, for whatever reason, like, say, Tuco just went apeshit and just went after them instead of, like, them. Something like that, you know? What would that have done to the story? And then maybe Aaron Paul's character. Maybe you could have had, like, a, you know, like, a happier ending, maybe. Instead of just, like, going through everything you go through. But he was, like, the only one that made it out alive, pretty much.
Yeah, supposedly, like, he's living in Antarctica, or... No, Alaska, excuse me, yeah.
Oh, like, in El Camino?
Yeah.
Yeah. He got, like, a new identity or whatever.
Yeah, did his thing.
So I guess that was... That was an upside, I guess, compared to everything.
Well, if anyone deserved it, he did, you know. To finally
get
away.
Which is good. It was satisfying.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I didn't mind the El Camino. Did you like the movie?
Yeah.
I liked it. I didn't mind it. I know people got, like, they were on and off about it, but I thought it was okay.
I wonder why, though.
I thought it was a good, like, it gives you another piece of the universe thing.
Exactly, yeah. And it gives a good ending. It's like, you know, he made, like...
Follow through, yeah.
After everything he went through, especially, you know, being fucking imprisoned, like, that whole time. Like,
yeah.
Like, damn, that sucks. And he made it. Out of everybody, he made it. It's crazy.
What are you watching right now, or rewatching?
Right now, I think I mentioned I finished Chernobyl.
Yeah, you. I don't know on the podcast, but we were talking about it before.
Oh, yeah. Fucking amazing.
Yeah,
amazing.
Great.
You know, it's just, like, so interesting, just because, like, I've heard of it, you know, like, the whole thing, but I don't know anything about it, you know, other than, yeah, there was a meltdown in Chernobyl.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's radioactive, and that's pretty much it. But, you know, when they gave, like, the story, and what was it?
So what is the story? What ended up happening? Is it a follow-up to the meltdown, or is it post, like, the show's post-meltdown?
It kind of covers everything. Like, it starts off kind of, like, at the end, then it takes you to the beginning and shows, like, all the... It kind of takes you, like, step by step.
To how this horrible thing could have happened.
What was the dude's name? In Dummy. Remember Dummy with Adrian Brody? What was, like, the psycho boyfriend...
The British dude?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's
something Harris, but I just don't remember.
That wasn't Harris.
No.
I know who you're referring to, though, yeah.
Yeah, because...
He was the media mogul in Mr. Deeds. And he's also Moriarty in the Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, right. The fuck was the name? Well, whatever, like, he plays, like, this, like, a professor of, like, you know, just, like, physics and a bunch of stuff. Like, he's one of the experts that they bring in, you know, to evaluate, like, everything that happened. And, like, when it takes you step by step, like, I don't know, pretty much just, like, general knowledge. But with him and, fucking, what was her name? In Equilibrium, she was that, the British lady?
Yeah.
Do you remember
the girlfriend?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah. Like, she was also in the Water Horse movie.
The M. Night Shyamalan one?
Yeah.
Or the Irish one?
Yeah. She's in that one. But yeah, I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
Okay, like, yeah, she's also, like, I forgot what her role is, but she's, like, a fucking physicist or something from, like, a company or whatever. So they kind of, like, well, she kind of brings herself in, but, you know, they pretty much, like, after everything that happens, they're brought in to evaluate, like, you know, like, going through all the things and just, like, everything that they uncover. And it can be pretty, like, complex, because I don't know anything about that, you know, but, like, the way it takes you in... It's like, oh, shit, okay.
How many episodes is it?
Eight?
Oh, so
eight
it's
or
like
10.
It's like a miniseries then.
Kind of,
yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's not like seasons or whatever, so it's kind of like a mini thing. So pretty much...
Well, I saw the Chernobyl Diaries. Way different movie.
Oh. Actually, I didn't mind that movie, to be honest.
I didn't think it was bad, but it's just not, obviously, not...
I thought it was interesting up until the very end.
Uh-huh.
Like,
when
that
cop out. Yeah.
It was just like, it was the same thing with, like, Paranormal Activity.
Sure, I mean, all those, you know...
it's like, damn, it was so good up until that, like, why, man? But anyway, pretty much, there was, like, whoever was, like, running, whoever the supervisor and just, like, a couple of the higher-ups, there was, like, something going on that they did with, like, the way the reactors work, and I guess there was, like, a fault.
I was gonna say, was this a malicious thing, or was it an accidental thing? Like, negligence?
Kind of both.
Oh, really?
It was like, you know, just like something about like the faulty design and the reactors, and the people that were supposed to like look after that, they just didn't give a shit. It's like, okay, we got to get this testing done. We, and you know, like all the workers were like, yeah, I don't think so. Like, it's dropping below this heat wave and this and that. He's like, what the fuck did I tell you? Just do it. And he kept pressing and pressing, and it takes you step by step, like, okay, they did this, and then it did that, and then when that happened,
this caused this. Yeah.
It's very interesting, you know, because, like, it's so engaging, because, like I said, it's not super, like, you know, exciting, action-packed, like, type thing, you know? But, you know, it, like, still draws you in, like, all the things that happened, and especially, like, the radiation fallout and the way it affected everybody.
Yeah.
It's like, it reminded me of Outbreak. Do you remember Outbreak? Yeah. You know, just, like, the way it just, like,
and a lot of monkeys.
Yeah.
What's that you're saying?
Yeah.
There's a lot of monkeys in Chernobyl, dude?
Just the deer monkeys. Yeah, sure, sure. But, just like the way, you know, they explain, like the way radiation just kind of tears into, like, your cellular whatever.
Yeah.
And that's what happens. And then when that happens and this happens, and it takes you step by step through, like, everything.
But no superpowers are granted.
No, unfortunately, no. I was waiting for it.
I want to see Red Star.
Is that the Omega Red guy?
Or Omega Red, too, yeah. Different, one's DC, one's Marvel, but yeah, I want to see that stuff.
Omega Red Star, what if there was...
Like, oh, shit, that would be the shit, dude. That's a good new nickname for, like, a comic book.
Omega Red Star?
Yeah.
Sounds like an energy drink.
It does, you're right, yeah.
Like a Russian Red Star. That's
funny. Vuisuka's Omega Red Star.
That's pretty good.
That's for all you Russian speaking friends.
Oh, that's funny.
That's funny, yeah.
Duh.
Have you gone out to any of your DJ friends parties or whatever yet again?
Not yet. Maybe tonight.
Oh, really?
Maybe.
Where is that at?
Somewhere in LA. Gotta double check. But again, it's maybe.
Why? You're just depending on how you feel, or
whatever. Yeah, kind of. You know.
Is the age thing gets you ever? Because I'm 8, 9 o'clock. I'm starting yawning, dude. That kind of shit.
Like, it kind of depends. Like, because, you know, most of the times, like, I know I mentioned, you know, like, times where we don't record, and for whatever reason, I'm not, like, super keen. Like, okay, I have to go out. Like I'm gonna go to sleep. You know, like, but every now and then, if something's going on, it's like, yo, I haven't seen them in a while. Like, sure, I guess I'll make the trip. You know, but otherwise, you know, like, after this, like, I get home and just do my usual, just fucking kick my shoes off and probably pass out, like, watching TV or something.
Right.
But, I don't know. It's like, if you can kind of, like, keep it up, you know, like, or if I get enough sleep the night before, because that's pretty much, like, what it comes down to.
Sure.
You know, so, I like sleeping pills, so more or less, like, I'm kind of okay, but...
I never take them when I'm home, for whatever reason. Just always on the road.
On the road.
Yeah, which is, I'm only, what, Fridays and Saturdays the only time I don't take them. But I thought it would be an issue where, for whatever reason, my cycle works out fine, you know? To be fair, I'm not, you know, when I'm home, I'm not waking up at 3:30 in the morning, whatever.
Oh, gotcha.
I'm not going to, like, I'd already have taken it right now. You know, I'd take it by no later than 6:45. That's the latest I take it.
Oh, okay.
And then it'll kick in around 8 o'clock, 7:30, yeah, that kind of thing. But anyways, but I have no, like, because I know a lot of people talk about, oh, once you start them, you can't stop. I have no issues falling asleep when I'm not, you know. I mean, I still wake up relatively early, comparatively speaking, you know, like 6-ish, whatever. But,
yeah, yeah.
But I don't have no gripes about, like, falling asleep, needing it to fall asleep.
Right.
But you, I know you have different actual sleeping problems. You need them to fall asleep? Or you need them to stay asleep?
It's, like, if I'm able to, like, it's weird, like, the way it kind of comes in waves, you know, like, there's times where, like, I could fall asleep, and for the most part, oh, it's funny. And for the most part, you know, like, there's times where I can stay asleep pretty much for most of the night.
Yeah.
Even though, like, sometimes I'll wake up at 4 or 5, and I'm not usually able to go back to sleep, but, like, I got a few hours in. But in the event that I'm able to go back to sleep, I'll take another snooze, sure, but there's times where I just can't sleep. Or if I do doze off, it's, like, for an hour, maybe two, but sometimes, like, an hour, I wake up, and that's me the rest of the night.
I don't think I could... Because I just, my body is so, like, if I didn't get at least 4 hours, there's no way I could, because I'm, there's a lot of, like, my schedule is just very demanding on my body, so I need legitimate, like, at least 4 hours of rest.
For it, sure.
None of this, like, oh, now we're here. You know, remember when we were young and our 20s? Dude, I think we went to Vegas one time, and I think I caught, like, 40 minutes of sleep that one entire trip we went there.
Oh, man.
Shit, like, remember, I think we were sleeping in the booths at a restaurant that was closed, and then they woke us up and got us out of there.
Did they really?
Yeah, you don't remember. Well, you were kind of in and out the whole time. And then we slept in the hallway and outside.
I do remember the hallway.
For like 30 minutes before they came, no, you guys can't sit. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's none. I can't, with the way, like, just the way my daily schedule is, there's no, it's way too, it demands a lot on the body where I need legit rest or I just can't function for it, you know? So it's just funny to me the way that plays. Like, that's how I feel my age catching up with me. That could be. So last Saturday, we had the fight, you know, the UFC 300 is a big three.
Can you,
this is lyrics. Can you? Last time we had UFC 300 is great, right?
Fucking, oh man.
And awesome. I forgot how much fun they were. I mean, I was a big fan, and then I just kind of, one of the reasons I stopped watching them, it just became like I got literally one day off. I still actually work Saturdays, but I have one day home, so I'll do something with the kids or
sure.
Like a date night or a movie night. Something where we do something together. They don't want to just see me when I'm drinking, watching the fights. They're not interested in it. So it was like a conscious choice of like, all right, well, I got, you know, I'm giving this up, you know, because whatever, you know, just I'm working the project. So it had been a long time since I ordered one and had people over and stuff like that. But it was so fun. Like, I think, and it was a big one. So it's not like I do want to start ordering again, but maybe after the project's done and
oh, for sure.
We'll have people, excuses to come over once a month type of thing, right? But anyways, like, The fights went on long, right? So, because usually they're done by 10, and then you're watching the post-press conference or whatever.
Right.
This time was like 10:30, and the last fight was about to come on. And I was like, I am so beat. And thank God I'm not the only one. Like, Mono was like, supposedly, Ellie, like, oh, man. And oh, thank God. You left before the main one
right,
came out.
Right, right, yeah.
Did you go to sleep too, or?
No, I didn't fall asleep.
Oh, I don't know where you're, because you left after the Asian fight, the two Chinese ladies fight,
mm-hmm.
Zhang Ying and Ling Wen. And, but there was one more fight right after that.
Oh, okay, then that, I don't think I caught that one.
Yeah, no. It was actually the main event, the championship fight. And thank God it lasted it was over in the first round. It was a great knockout.
Oh, really?
Yeah, great knockout, great fight. Not even a great fight, like, just a great knockout, because the guy performed perfectly. I think, like, 2 minutes into the first round, Pierre fucked up Jamal. And it was just like, thank fucking God. Aside from it being an amazing knockout, thank you fucking Lord in heaven, like, we can bounce now, like, okay, because everyone's like, okay, great, that was great, man. It used to be, dude, we used to stay up, watch the post-crash card, we used to just keep drinking,
let's
keep watching the post, oh, yeah, let's look at the highlights, yeah, that whole thing. As soon as it's like, okay, cool, guys, oh, yeah, he's like, yeah, we're out, yeah, fuck yeah, man, all right, cool. It's just so funny, and we're not even that much older than we were when we were, like, what were we going to say, like, early 30s, mid-30s, when we used to watch them all the time. Mortal Task used to have
in the backyard, yeah.
Yeah, remember that? Remember we used to have on the projector every time, so... That wasn't that long ago. It was only like 5 to 10 years ago. And now it just seems so much... it just seems so much like... What's happening? Is it just because of our schedules or something?
Just like the routine. It's a different routine now.
Yeah.
And like, I guess back then, it kind of coincided.
Yeah.
And maybe just like... Kind of not being that. You kind of adapt to like the new way that things are. And then it's kind of like... It's almost like, I don't know, like, say, like, you're used to, like, stretching all the time, and then you don't do it for a while.
Yeah.
It's like you could kind of do it, but it's just going to take a little more effort.
The muscle memory's there, but you're going to be sore. You're going to be sore.
The dexterity is kind of, like, falling off a bit. But
yeah, something like that.
Something like that, but maybe, like, on a mental note. I guess a physical one, too, because that's where it hits, you know?
Yeah. That's funny, man. Yeah, whatever it was. But it was good. It was fun
times. Yeah, it was good times. Good to see Elliot, too. I haven't seen that guy in a minute.
Yeah, you hadn't seen him since he had his baby, right?
Since before. That was the first time
I've
seen
him.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, he's funny. He's a pops now.
But that's cool, man.
You can tell because he's got so much more gray hairs now. You know? Elliot, I still keep in contact with... I think Elliot and Christian are the only high school buddies I still keep in contact. And then Christian just, you know, he had a baby a few months ago, so...
Oh, nice. Oh, so, the new one?
Yeah, the new one. So, you know, don't see him as much. But, I mean, that's going to happen when you're...
Yeah, for sure.
When you're a dad. But, yeah, at least we'll see about maybe once a month get together. Either, like, watch a game together or I guess the fights now, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's cool. I mean, it's weird, like, I can't imagine now. Like, I think of Elliot and Christian as being parents now. That's fucking crazy to me because, like, we're just talking about age thing, you know? Like, Becky's gonna have a kid.
Right? Oh, that's right.
She's actually due, I think, think in May or June. No, in June. She's doing June. Really? So that's coming up pretty soon. But she's 5 years younger than us. And I still think that's too old to be having kids, you know? Like, she's, what, 33, I believe. And I was like, oh, man, you're just... And then, like, Patty had a kid, like, at 40. That's crazy. That is crazy. Now, that's even different for... I think when you're a guy, you get a little bit more, like, leeway.
Okay.
Because it's less stress on the body. But for women, like, oh, man, I can't imagine. I feel for them what they're going to go through, like, having kids like that, you know? And then it's just like, imagine if Jackie was pregnant now. Like, we're done. I got teenagers, you know? One's in college, one's in, like, late high school. Like, I'm done. Like,
oh, for sure.
Imagine,
for sure.
Like, I'm not going back to changing diapers. I don't want to go, you know, do all that nonsense again, you know?
Right, right.
Man, but then even earlier today, I just came inside Jackie. Like, oh, man. Like, I'm playing with the devil, rolling the devil's dice.
Rolling again. The dice over here.
Why am I doing that, man? It's been a whole week since I've seen her, you know, so I just wanted to...
You got
to
catch up.
Yeah, man, but that's dangerous. What's wrong with me?
Birth control or anything like that? Or
no, just... it's usually pull-out method, but it was so good today, I didn't want to get out.
Just got a little, Was it like, I don't know if it was like a meme or something, if you keep your fingers crossed, you can't get pregnant or something?
I gotta try that one. I didn't know that, right? Okay. My toes are crossed. That's for sure. They were curled. That's for sure.
Oh, shit.
What's wrong with me? Did you ever do that?
What?
Bust inside a girl and we're like, ah, damn it, why'd I do that?
That I remember, no.
No.
I don't know, there's been, like, plenty... Well, when I was younger, mind you.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Because now, like, the whiskey dick...
Not earlier today?
Is, like,
God damn it! No way.
Fucking kills me. No, I said, like, nowadays, like, the whiskey dick, like, it's just a thing. Like,
oh, yeah, sure.
You know, it's just, like, it is what it is. Like,
no, that's... Because I haven't been drinking as much lately, and it literally shot my viralness is fucking shot up or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it really does have a huge effect.
Absolutely. Yeah. 100%.
Like, yeah, without a doubt, yeah. Yeah. I really don't, I only drink on the weekends, and I don't even drink really hard anymore and everything. And it makes a difference.
Most definitely. But as far as, like, previous encounters, no scares that I remember.
Even when you're younger?
Maybe, but I mean, like one night stands and shit like that aside, like, not that I could think of, but But yeah, like, there's no scares or anything that was ever brought to my attention, I'll say, mm-hmm. that I've been aware of. Mm-hmm. So as far as I know, like, you know,
Ironically, I want more cats, though.
Cats?
That's weird, right?
I mean, makes sense.
Sometimes I have, like, this, like, dream where I'm just in bed and, like, a box of kittens. It's just, like, they're all over me, like, oh.
That's funny.
It's pretty cool.
Sounds like the perfect scenario.
Hey, what did you think of the Ryan Gosling Saturday Night Live?
Oh, my God, man. That was amazing.
Me and Tommy, this morning, we're on the way to school, we're watching the Beavis and Butthead sketch again.
Yeah.
Then the King of the Hill thing at the end.
Oh, man, yeah. It was more of this, please.
Yeah.
More of this,
But the way that What's-Her-Face broke...
Like, oh, Heidi? Oh, man.
I don't think anyone's broke that bad.
Oh, 100%.
She broke legit, was just laughing. Just
like, she couldn't even keep it. Yeah. And she's great. Like, yeah. She's like one of those, the more, absolutely, like, well-composed cast.
Absolutely.
Members.
She's not like a dumb Jimmy Fallon or nothing. She's
100%.
Known for breaking.
She might have a smirk or like.
No, but
something.
She's just not known for breaking. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So but this one, like,
she
just.
It was so good, man.
Oh, man.
It was the second dude. I forgot his name, but his lip thing.
Oh, Mikey?
When his gums were actually showing. No, the funniest part I didn't notice before is that, like, sir, could you please leave? He goes to the guy next to him and
he's like, hey,
cool.
He's like, he means you, bro. Like,
I didn't notice that until this morning. I was like, rewatch it. I was like, but the first time I was telling you, I was on the way either up north or back. No, back. It was up north because it was on a Sunday.
Oh,
so it had to be the previous one. I legit had to pull over because I was crying. Tears were coming out of my eyes, and I was like, I can't see. I got to pull over. And I just had a fucking good laugh, man. And then I started crying, and I was thinking about how lonely I am. It's weird. Oh, really weird, man.
I mean, that's not that far off, to be honest.
One of those laugh cries.
Laugh cries?
Yeah. Yeah. My jack-off session before I fell asleep that night was really rough, man. It was weird. It was really weird. No, I'm kidding, but no, that was legit a great episode. They had another good episode before that, too. Kristen Wiig was on the week before. Did you see that one?
I saw... which one did I see?
You saw only some sketches? You didn't see
the whole thing? Yeah, I haven't watched the whole thing.
It's fun. That one's good. Most of them are hits. Which one did you see?
What the fuck was it? Was there a skit where... I don't know if she's with, like, a family...
Yeah, playing a game, board game?
Was it the board...
The Jumanji episode?
Yes, yes. Oh, man.
That was really good. That's the one. That was really, really good. I don't want to get Jumanji. And then they said Jumanji like 12 times in like a minute. Like, why are you saying Jumanji?
Man, that one was like good. When I was watching that, like... Dude, I think they're coming
back. What more take out of that? That one
had right.
That's why that one had a lot of guest stars. A lot of guest stars, right? Who else was on there?
Although the five timers or whatever, Paul
Matt
Rudd,
Damon, right?
I think he Matt Damon,
Paul Rudd was on there, and somebody. Oh, I think it was Ryan Gosling, right?
Yeah, he came out at the very end,
What's up? Oh, but yeah, if you get a chance, check out the whole episode. It was really, really funny. But there was a couple duds before that. Fuck, who were the guests? There was a couple guests before that. They were like, oh, this is not.
I haven't seen too many as of late.
Let me see if I can look it up. But you got Peacock, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I usually just watch them...
On YouTube? The only ones that are still hits are the... Weekend Update just does not fail, man. The weekend updates are always are such a hit. Let me see. Okay, so who was the guest before... Kristen Wiig. It was... Give me a second. Sorry, y'all. Dead air.
Yeah, my bad.
Oh, Rami Malek? Rami Youssef. This guy?
Oh, yeah. I saw, like, maybe one?
His was not good. He did a Hitman thing on the Killer. You know that?
Oh, yeah.
He did that. That wasn't really that good. That Travis Scott was the musical guest. He's not really that good. There was maybe one or two that were like kind of chuckles, but like I said, the weekend updates are always good. And then the one before that one, who was it? Oh no, James Brolin was not bad. James Brolin was on the weekend.
Okay, I saw like a couple of his.
Ego, what's her face? The black lady?
Ego Nuada?
She does Lisa from Temecula. Have you seen her reoccurring sketches of those?
No, I don't
They're
think so.
They're very funny. She has like four times. It's a reoccurring character. She has like three or four sketches of those. They're pretty good. I recommend those. And then... Oh, Sydney Sweeney was on before that. Did you see that one?
Oh, no, I don't think so.
She was okay. She wasn't too bad. Yeah, I didn't mind her. And then Shane Gillis, did he check him out this season? Wait, which ones have you seen fully then?
I've seen some of Shane's. I saw like the opening monologue for sure.
His opening monologue was really good.
That one was good. I saw like, I think it was like the high school reunion.
The Forrest Gump one?
Yeah. Yeah,
that was really good.
I saw that one.
I really liked that one. Mama's Dead. Oh, shit, man. I don't know. Yeah, that was very good. Let me just pause it. Saturday Live's been, you know, I don't know, because I know people are, it's actually Joe Rogan was talking about it with, I think, Tony Hinchcliffe, the other comedian. I don't know if you know him. If you've seen him, you might recognize him.
Oh, okay.
But he used to write for Chappelle Show. So he would come out with some of the sketches, so you might recognize his face and not realize it was him. But anyways, they were talking about like why Saturday Night Live isn't funny anymore, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it goes through certain like waves. Whatever. Okay. But I still think they're always sometimes it's just the guest's fault.
Mm-hmm.
Just because they're just not... The hosts don't really have... If they don't have a comedic response to things, or they don't have, like, a banter... Like, you know, we've had guests on our shows where we're trying to joke around, and the jokes are just going over their head.
Okay.
Or they're just not hitting, or they're not vibing, or they don't think it's funny. And then if they don't think it's funny, then it becomes not funny in the whole room, or the whole table, right? Mm-hmm. That kind of thing. And sometimes I feel that's the way... I don't think it's the cast and crew's fault. Because you're never not going to get... You're not going to get 10 members of your cast and crew that just aren't funny. That's not the way it works. You get the best of who you makes laugh. So having a bad show, I don't think is fair to the actors and the writers. it's really, if you have a good show or a bad show, it's going to be whether the host has comedic chops or not.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Because some of them just get it. Like, you're good with making fun of yourself. You're good with, you know, Ryan Gosling's a perfect example of this, right? He's whether he's funny or not, he's good to just go along and let other people be the funny people. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
So it's, you know, it works. It works, you know, as opposed to someone like Dakota Johnson, who's just kind of dull or says everything with a deadpan delivery. So unless you're having an applause sign or a laugh sign, you know laugh now, please, like, you're just like, oh, we're, it, if you're not enthusiastic about it, why are we enthusiastic?
Got it.
You know, that kind of thing, right? Or she, you know, whatever. I don't know. I don't want to pick on her, you know, whatever. But still, I just use her as an example because it just popped over my head.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I've seen any of her movies, to be honest. I just, like, I like her. Like, I think she's pretty and all that, but...
I saw the 50 Shades of Grey one, the first one. But she's not a good actress in that one.
Oh.
She did a movie that was kind of cool, but I don't know if she was, like, the best part of it. But it was called, like, Bad Times at the El Rio Corral or something like that.
I don't think so.
It gave, like, Jeff Bridges in it, Chris Hemsworth in it. It gave good, like, Quentin vibes, you know? Like, give you that kind of thing. But Bad Times at the El Rio Corral is pretty cool. It's a little mystery kind of movie, you know?
Oh, okay.
One of those, you know? Not necessarily a whodunit, but more of a, like, who's gonna get away with it, or who's... Everyone's kind of, like, Smoking Aces. It gave that kind of that kind of vibe, yeah. Less action-y, though, and more, like, suspense stuff, but that kind of vibe of Smoking Aces, yeah.
That's best cool, though. That's still pretty cool.
Yeah, that, like I said, the movie was pretty cool. I don't know if she was the best part in it, but the movie itself was pretty good. She's not horrible in it. Like, she doesn't take you out of it, but it... So maybe it's certain roles that pertain to her, but in general, like, even in interviews, it's very dry, very deadpan.
Nice.
She's almost like Nathan Fielder from Nathan For You, but without being hilarious. Oh, you know, without being hilarious. You know?
Right, right. Still gotta watch The Curse.
I'm four episodes in.
Oh, man.
It's pretty fucking weird.
Even for him.
Just gonna say that, yeah.
Oh, man. Wait, where are the streamers?
They have a close-up of his penis. It's not his penis, but, like, part of the plot is he has a micro dick.
Okay.
So it's really weird to see that on screen. And then, like, she gets along with Emma Stone's dad because he has one too, and they both show it at the same time. It's really weird.
Huh.
It's interesting. And it's more about, like, white savior complex with Native American people specifically.
Mm-hmm.
It's more like that than anything else. And it's like, oh, I didn't get this angle from it at first, but yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, it's very, very interesting. Yeah. But it's definitely, like, unique to television, you know what I mean? Like, okay.
Well, I mean, I guess he still got to. Like, he could still deliver.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know? But I still think the best thing he's done is the rehearsal. That's the best thing he's ever done. And I think probably the most unique thing I've ever seen on television. I think so, yeah.
It was definitely something else, man. It still trips me out sometimes.
I think one of the same producers for the Nathan For You show is the show How To with John Wilson.
Oh, okay.
Have you seen that one on HBO?
I've seen, like, one episode, I think.
They're fucking great, man. They're little mini docs, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Going live through New York and stuff like that, where he's, like, a filmmaker. Right. But they're really good, and his comedy is really, really interesting. But it's kind of very up the same alley as, you know, Nathan For You or whatever, but it's really cool. Basically, it's like when you catch regular people doing weird shit, it's always ends up becoming something, and you can make, if you edit it enough, you can make something interesting around it, you know? Yeah, but I recommend that, man.
I have to watch that one, too.
Yeah.
But I started the fourth season of True Detective.
That's the Alaska one, right?
Yeah.
Who are the girls in it? Julianne Moore? Or
Jodie Foster.
Jodie Foster?
Jodie Foster. She's, like, the only one that I recognize for the most part. I think there's, like, a couple, like, probably well-known B actors, like, here and there.
Character actors.
You know, but...
This one's... I heard good things about it, though.
Like, so far, I'm, like, I think it started the third episode today.
I've seen the first two seasons. I know they're anthologies, so they're different. But I've seen the first two seasons, which I really liked.
The first one's fucking incredible.
Yeah, awesome. The first one's great, yeah.
Then the second one, it didn't feel True Detective-y, at least compared to the first one. It almost felt like it was just, like, its own thing. Like,
wait, I'm sorry, which one's the one with Vince Vaughn, or which one's the one with Colin Farrell?
That's the second season.
Second, so the first two is the one I've seen.
That's the LA one, I guess.
Yeah.
Or what do they call it? Vinci.
Right.
That's what they called it. Which I didn't mind, you know, it was very, still, like, very noir. But the third season was, like, great.
He has this... I've seen a trailer for this. It's he actually plays a noir... Colin Farrell plays a noir detective called Sugar. And it takes place in, like, 1930s or 40s L.A., which I love.
Oh, shit.
I love that setting. It's a great... I don't know why, but I really like the old L.A. settings.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure.
I think we talked about Hollywoodland and Black Dahlia, right? Mm-hmm. That era of filmmaking. But if you check out the trailer, it's just called Sugar, but it's Colin Farrell, and he plays... Because I think he makes a perfect private eye, you know, a private dick, you know, one of those guys. Mm-hmm. He plays it great. Maybe it's just because he looks good in a fedora. I don't know, but whatever it is, I really like that era, and I wanted to see the show, but I think it's on Paramount Plus, and I don't have that yet, so I might have to wait till the series finishes or the show season finishes, and maybe buy it on on Apple TV or whatever. You know? Yeah, but it looks good, man. Yeah, I like Colin Farrell a lot. He's underrated. Did you ever see the Banshees?
Insurance? No, Insurance? Not yet.
It's really good. If you like Bruges, you'll like this. It's the same director and writer. Actually, now I think we're the same two actors, too.
Donald Gleason?
That's his son.
No, I'm sorry.
Liam Neeson. Yes, that's it. obviously that's his kid. It's like a Donald Gleason's dad. I can't believe I'm saying that.
It's Gleason or Neeson?
No, Gleason. It's
not Gleason.
Brendan Gleason.
Brendan Gleason. Yes. There you go.
Yeah, it's them two. But if you like them, Bruges, which is, I think, is one of the better dark comedies.
Right.
This is kind of in the same vein.
As okay.
That one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus, he's done a few Yorgos Lanthimos films too. Colin Farrell.
Oh, Lobster?
Yeah, Lobster, and he did Killing of a Sacred Deer, which are really, really good movies. He's another one that has that dark comedy thing, man. Like, I'm not even joking when I say Poor Things is probably the funniest movie I've seen all year. Like, really, really funny stuff. I was really surprised how... because his movies have, like, a sense of irony funny, but this one, there is, like, legit funny jokes. Like, really, really good stuff, mm-hmm. Yeah. The other one that's like that is very similar is The Favorite, which also has Emma Stone. So maybe it's her that brings that kind of comedy out of him or whatever.
Well, that's pretty good. Yeah. I mean, you know, she started out like in a lot of those like...
Right.
Just like comedies, whatever.
Like,
you know?
Stoner comedies or teenage comedies.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Which is cool. Like, she has that ability to kind of bring that out and like channel it through.
They did like for... She was going to change her name to Emma Stoner for a little bit.
Oh, shit.
What would be your stoner name? Oh, obviously, it's fucking Loaf. Never mind.
Yeah, I think that's pretty universal.
As soon as
I
left my mouth, like, oh, duh. You already have a stoner name. That is legit, like, a name you would hear, like, oh, like, if you're a fraternity, oh, there's Loaf, you know, that kind of thing.
Oh, that's funny. It's some kind of, like frat comedy or something, and just, like, Van
Kappa
Wilder or something.
Kappa Nu or whatever, you know, like that. Van Wilder is based on Bert Kreischer.
Is it really?
Yeah, so that's funny that there's two movies about him, about his life story, and one of them is Van Wilder. So that really happened to him for Florida State. A reporter girl wrote a story, the editor wanted him to write it. The same thing as the plot for Van Wilder was essentially for Kreischer's story, and because they wrote an actual article from him in whatever magazine, and that's what ended up getting sold to get a script off that article. And mm-hmm. then they became Van Wilder.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So if you look at it like that, he was the ultimate party guy. And whenever, mid-90s or whatever, for Florida State. And Florida State was the ultimate party school, so hence Bert Kreischer became the ultimate party guy in America.
Interesting.
Yeah. And then becomes Van Wilder. I mean, they don't look anything alike, but yeah. It's obviously Hollywood versions of it. Yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah. He kind of fell off for me a little bit. I don't think he's as funny as he used to be.
Who,
Bert Kreischer? I still think Tom Segura is pretty good. That guy's really funny. But he's definitely changed, though, too. I don't know if it's a fame and money thing. Maybe the more successful you are, the harder it is for you to be as funny as you were.
Because you don't have to try as hard?
It's possibly that's correlation to it. Or maybe just you don't have, funny comes from suffering, and if you have less suffering, less funny. Maybe that's another factor to it.
Interesting.
You know? I mean, there's some true geniuses that never goes away, no matter how successful you are. Like, obviously I'm thinking of Norm, you know, he's funny no matter what, you know. But even like David Spade, who has a certain level of success, he's still just as funny as he was when he was young, because that's what his personality or his kind of comedy standings calls to, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of people that are not, Like, well, like, I don't think Joe Rogan was ever funny.
Right, same.
But he's even less now that, with more success and... Yeah, I don't know how people think he's funny either. Which is weird, because I like his commentary in the UFC, and I don't like his podcast anymore, but I used to listen to his podcast, and I could see why people like that, but I don't see how people could think he's hilarious or funny.
From that? No, not really.
Yeah.
Or even, like, his stand-ups.
No, that's what I'm talking about, his stand-ups. I don't think his stand-ups are funny. His jokes are not funny.
Are they even jokes? He's just yelling about stuff. I don't know. That's, like, the way I thought about it. I don't know. It didn't really seem like there were jokes with the punchline or anything. Yeah. It's just like, isn't it funny that blah, 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 blah? Mm-hmm. And then he yells about that. But, like, I don't... There's no real mechanics to it. It's just, like, him just saying stuff.
And no, I think that's all it is mechanics of things. But they're just not funny.
Right,
like,
yeah.
He does setups and punch... And he does callbacks and stuff like that. But it's on top... None of it's humorous, whatever. It's right. Almost like he has a robotic, an AI structure of a comic. Because, yeah, he's doing everything he's supposed to be doing, except the funny part. like, you give that same material to somebody who's actually really funny, they'll come up with something. Actually, you know what I'm saying? Like, give it to Kevin James or Sinbad, you know?
Sinbad.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I think, like... Oh, I think he knows a lot about comedy. I think he knows a lot about setups and jokes and structures and callbacks and saving it good for later. But it's just the punchlines aren't good and your jokes aren't good. So, like, you got to make sure this shit is hilarious before you fucking... I don't know, whatever. People laugh at him, I guess. I don't know. But I think at this point, it's like an Emperor's New Clothes type thing. Huh. You know? Because he's so successful and he controls a lot of in the political world. He can make and break careers with his podcast because his podcast is so successful,
mm-hmm.
right? So anybody he brings on, instantly you're going to get a million new downloads or a million new followers or a million whatever because that's just how big he is. So now it becomes a thing where every up-and-coming comic wants to make sure, like, oh, I laugh at everything Rogan does because he might bring me on his podcast one day, and that's where the key to success is.
Oh.
Whether they think he's funny or not, they're just laughing to make sure, like, I want this guy to like me, so I want him to think I think he's funny. You know what I mean? Exactly. Like, Cat Williams is a perfect example who doesn't give a fuck. He's going to tell you and your friends are not funny.
Right.
Yeah, which he did say in that famous interview, infamous interview now. Yeah, you got to go, dude?
No, not yet.
We're almost at the 50-minute mark anyway. We can call it if you want.
Sure.
All right, what's another good show? I only came up with, like, 3 busters today. One of them was me busting a nut. But you got anything to set up? One more good, like, let's go on a good rant or joke about something before it goes out. Anything funny or interesting you want to talk about we can rant on?
Anything funny?
Give me some setups.
Shit.
Give me some setups. So we'll try to make something work.
I was at the bus stop the other day. Like,
no, I mean more like current events, something you think would be funny to, like, oh, you know, dump it. I don't know. I'm just thinking of something. Any current events? Anything interesting?
Current events? I don't know. Like, OJ some sort
died.
Of try?
We haven't talked about since OJ died, right? Have we? No.
No. We just mentioned it the other day, but we haven't talked about it on the show.
The funny thing about that is that, like, I have never seen even more clips of Norm MacDonald when he's making fun of OJ.
Oh, man. I still remember them to this day, yeah.
Well, they've been coming up more and more recently, so that's, thank God, that's in the algorithm for the joke, for the... I think the funniest thing about that is that a lot of them didn't hit with the audiences. Like, they probably thought it was in poor taste, too. But that kept making him want to do more.
Because that's, like, his thing, right?
I mean, he literally got fired for continuing to do jokes. I guess one of the producers for NBC was, like, friends. Don Ammer was friends with OJ. And legitimate told Norm. Do you know this part? They legit told Norm, stop making OJ jokes. Like, stop. And he just, fuck you, kept doing it. And they weren't even, like I said, they weren't hitting with the audience. Oh, but he kept doing it to piss the guy who told him not to do these jokes.
Huh.
And he ended up getting fired for it. And that's what's fucking crazy about it. Like, he's so... And that's what's genius about it. So if you rewatch those jokes, because there's, like, 20-minute, like, just nonstop OJ jokes during that time. And remember, we were talking about how the trial went on for, like, a year, right?
Oh, yeah.
Actually, now, that's funny we bring up, because the last podcast we did, we talked about, like, monumental moments in our 90s live.
That's
and the
right.
OJ trial came up. So it's that's so funny right. that now, since that episode, OJ has died. But anyways, that's kind of the whole point. Like, to me, it's this guy that it's funny for him and the very small people that he thinks is funny, and he doesn't care because he's going to keep doing it, even to the point where it gets him fired off his job. Right. Like, that's... Norm is...
That's an artist. That's a fucking artist.
That's an artist. Man. That's an artist. That's an artist. Yeah. That's an artist. Well, in light of OJ's death, I'd like to say rest in peace, Norm McDonald.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's it. All right, guys. This will be a mini episode. We'll have more for you in the next week.
Yeah.
This has been Snooze and Booze. We had a lot of fun talking. We hope you had a lot of fun listening.